Welcome to Fresh Bread with Raymond McCulloch. Raymond is the former editor of Irish Christian magazine Bread and, with his wife Jerry, directs Kingdom Come Trust based in Northern Ireland. He has pastored and led worship for several years in Belfast and is currently involved in music and media production.
Hi, I'm Raymond McCulloch. Welcome to the 12th episode of our series Fresh Bread, Your Kingdom Come, based on my book, The Whore Under Muller, 9/11, Babylon, and the Return of the King. If you've missed the previous shows, don't worry. You can still play or download the podcast of previous shows from our website, kingdomcome.org.uk, or you can read the first few chapters of the book for free there, and you can download the relevant prophetic passages for your own study. You'll also find more information about the music and the content of each show, and you can read all the encouraging emails we receive about this and our previous shows. Here are a couple of them. Brother Raymond, like your program, I just came upon it on my friend's satellite receiver. Bless you, Carly Seaver, USA. I'm enjoying your Fresh Bread series. Your writing is inspiring and leads me to want to do more in my own life for Christ. You're really telling the truth in this series. It is stuff that some don't want to talk about, but it is definitely true. P.S. I like the song by Split Level, really good. Rhonda Jane Harris, USA. If you want to contact us, our email address is simply raymond@kingdomcome.org.uk, or just use the form on our website, kingdomcome.org.uk. In previous weeks, we've covered the preface, introduction, and the first seven chapters of the book. Last week, we covered chapter 7, Get Out, Flee, Run for Your Life. Let's sum up what we covered. 1. Judah and Israel can expect things to get very troubled in Mega Babylon. Anti-Semitism will increase, and it will become difficult for them to be allowed to leave. An underground may be set up to smuggle out those who see the writing on the wall. Those who are wise will be like the goats that lead the flock. 2. Jeremiah mentions both the sons of Judah and the sons of Israel. The 6 million American Jews we can understand, but who are these sons of Israel? Perhaps that will become clearer in due course. 3. Get out, flee, leave, run for your lives. Come out of her, do not linger. Come out from them, be separate. Come out of her, my people. Can any instructions be more obvious? Get out, now. Before we continue with Chapter 8, The 6-Hour War, we're going to listen to Slemish from Belfast, Northern Ireland, and two tunes, Last Chance Polka and Mary's Wedding. Thank you. chapter 8, the Six-Hour War. Of course, naturally the Hebrew prophets talk more about the land of Israel, the lost tribes, and also those nations which immediately surround Israel. It does not really require much prophetic anointing to predict conflict in the Middle East in the near future. But what do the Hebrew prophets have to say about the Middle East? In 2011, we see turmoil and revolution throughout the Arab nations. One by one, autocratic governments have fallen to popular uprisings, with others still trying to hold on to power at whatever cost in human lives. The countries which surround Israel are pretty unanimous in their opposition to Israel's very existence. Several countries, including Syria, are officially still at war with Israel. The government of Lebanon is coming more and more under the control of Iranian-backed Hezbollah, who have already stockpiled greater numbers of missiles than were used in the 2006 war with Israel. Hamas also, in the Gaza Strip, continue to amass more and more missiles and mortars from Iran via Sudan and Egypt's Sinai Peninsula. Egypt and Jordan are still officially at peace with Israel, but the recent change of government in Egypt does not bode well for that peace continuing. Iran, meanwhile, continues to threaten Israel while developing into a possible nuclear threat. Will all the rhetoric and posing finally spill over into a serious armed conflict, drawing in the whole region? Yes, the prophets do predict great changes in the Middle East, and I think we're talking about a more immediate fulfillment than the events we've already discussed. Currently, Israel is the only Middle Eastern country with a nuclear weapon capability since 1966, but Iran is progressing rapidly towards such a capability. Meanwhile, the Muslim nation of Pakistan, a safe haven and training ground for Muslim terrorism, have already had a nuclear capability for many years. Israel has often been accused of having a Samson option, a strategy of massive nuclear retaliation against enemy nations, should its existence as a Jewish state be jeopardized through military attack. Israeli leaders created the term in the mid-1960s, inspired by the biblical figure Samson, who destroyed a Philistine temple, killing himself and thousands of Philistine enemies. In 2002, the Los Angeles Times published an opinion piece by Louisiana State University professor David Perlmutter, in which he wrote, "What would serve the Jew-hating world better in repayment for thousands of years of massacres but a nuclear winter? Or invite all those tut-tutting European statesmen and peace activists to join us in the ovens?" For the first time in history, a people facing extermination while the world either cackles or looks away. Unlike the Armenians, Tibetans, World War II European Jews or Rwandans, have the power to destroy the world. The ultimate justice.
Love in the morning.
That was One Week of Days, a husband and wife duo from Kilkenny, Ireland, and You Know Best. So what do the prophets have to say on this? The book of Isaiah contains a number of prophetic words aimed at the states surrounding Israel, including Egypt, Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, and Gaza. Before we look at any of these, however, let's examine another promise regarding Israel, or Ariel. Isaiah 28:15-18. You boast, "We have entered into a covenant with death. With the realm of the dead, we have made an agreement. When an overwhelming scourge sweeps by, it cannot touch us, for we have made a lie our refuge and falsehood our hiding place." So, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. Your covenant with death will be annulled. Your agreement with the realm of the dead will not stand. The current peace process, which has not yet led, and I believe will never lead, to any peace in the Middle East, can be described as a covenant with death, a contract with hell or Sheol. Israel has got itself into an impossible negotiation with those who only want one outcome, the annihilation of Israel. It will be God himself who will annul this contract. How will this come about? Probably in much the same way as previous conflicts involving Israel have taken place. The Arab and other Muslim nations surrounding Israel will wait until they believe that they are in a position of military superiority over her. Then they will begin an attack to destroy them as a nation so that Israel's name is remembered no more. Psalm 83 verse 4. Isaiah 17:12-14. Woe to the many nations that rage. They rage like the raging sea. Woe to the peoples who roar. They roar like the roaring of great waters. Although the peoples roar like the roar of surging waters, when he rebukes them, they flee far away, driven before the wind, like chaff on the hills, like tumbleweed before a gale. In the evening, sudden terror. Before the morning, they are gone. This is the portion of those who loot us, the lot of those who plunder us. Isaiah 29:5-7. But your many enemies will become like fine dust, the ruthless hordes like blown chaff. Suddenly, in an instant, the Lord Almighty will come with thunder and earthquake and great noise, with windstorm and tempest and flames of a devouring fire. Then the hordes of all the nations that fight against Ariel, that attack her and her fortress and besiege her, will be as it is with a dream, with a vision in the night. Isaiah 17 begins specifically as a prophecy against the city of Damascus, but ends describing the total defeat of many nations. Verse 14 seems to imply a disaster for Israel, a terrorist attack, perhaps even a successful nuclear missile strike. But before morning, the problem is gone. They have ceased to be. This is backed up by Isaiah 29, which states that it will happen suddenly, in an instant. This could well be the result of a full-scale retaliation by Israel after suffering a nuclear missile attack. This firstly applies to Syria, so the attack may possibly originate from there, though there are obviously other possibilities. Syria is certainly involved, though. Isaiah 17, verse 1. A prophecy against Damascus. See, Damascus will no longer be a city, but will become a heap of ruins. Verse 3, Damascus will cease to rule. And verse 9, in that day, their strong cities, which they left because of the Israelites, will be like places abandoned to thickets and undergrowth, and all will be desolation. The passage goes on to describe Syrian cities being given over to flocks, with only gleanings left. This prophecy is particularly interesting because Damascus can claim to be the oldest continually inhabited city in the world. Down through history, it has never been destroyed, but that is going to change. Jeremiah 49:23-27. Concerning Damascus, Harmath and Arpad are dismayed, for they have heard bad news. They are disheartened, troubled like the restless sea. Damascus has become feeble. She has turned to flee, and panic has gripped her. Anguish and pain have seized her, pain like that of a woman in labour. Why has the city of renown not been abandoned, the town in which I delight? Surely her young men will fall in the streets. All her soldiers will be silenced in that day, declares the Lord Almighty. I will set fire to the walls of Damascus. It will consume the fortresses of Ben-Hadad. Syria will be defeated then. But these prophecies do not just refer to Syria. They apply to an alliance of many nations coming against Israel. The result of this new Arab-Israeli war will be that these nations, who desire Israel's destruction, will flee far away, driven before the wind like chaff, like tumbleweed before a gale. This implies a once and for all decisive military victory for Israel over all those who oppose her at present. This attack seems to be described again in Psalm 83, which repeats the results and even lists the nations involved. Psalm 83, 1-18. O God, do not remain silent. Do not turn a deaf ear. Do not stand aloof, O God. See how our enemies growl, how your foes rear their heads. With cunning, they conspire against your people. They plot against those you cherish. Come, they say, let us destroy them as a nation, so that Israel's name is remembered no more. With one mind, they plot together. They form an alliance against you. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, of Moab and the Hagrites, Byblos, Ammon, and Amalek, Philistia, with the people of Tyre, even Assyria has joined them to reinforce Lot's descendants. Do to them as you did to Midian, as you did to Sisera and Jabin at the river Kishon, who perished at Endor and became like dung on the ground. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeb, all their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, let us take possession of the pasture lands of God. Make them like tumbleweed, my God, like chaff before the wind. As fire consumes the forest, or a flame sets the mountains ablaze, so pursue them with your tempest, and terrify them with your storm. Cover their faces with shame, Lord, so that they will seek your name. May they ever be ashamed and dismayed. May they perish in disgrace. Let them know that you, whose name is the Lord, that you alone are the Most High over all the earth. Oreb, Zeb, Zeba, and Zalmunna were four leaders of the Midianites, now part of Saudi Arabia, who were all killed personally by Gideon, at that time a judge of Israel. As well as Syria, these nations will include Jordan, Lebanon, Palestine, probably Saudi Arabia, and quite likely Iran. The most likely form of attack, liable to produce a nuclear response from Israel, would be a nuclear missile strike.
Thank you.
That was Paul and Beulah Shields from Bangor, County Down in Northern Ireland, and Arise. Let's sum up what we've covered in Chapter 8 so far. 6-hour war in the Middle East. 1. Israel has a nuclear weapon capability and maintains a Samson option to strike at those nations around her if her survival is threatened. 2. Isaiah 28 seems to describe the current Middle East peace process as a covenant with death, a contract with hell for Israel. God himself will annul this contract. 3. Isaiah 17 describes the complete destruction of Damascus, capital of Syria, a city which is proud to be the longest continually inhabited city in the world, never before destroyed. And 4. Along with Syria, many other surrounding nations are mentioned, including Iran, the most likely to attack with a nuclear missile. But they will become like chaff in the wind, like dust in a storm. The Low Country Boys from the Ards Peninsula in County Down, Northern Ireland, and a wee tune called Hills of Corridor. Join us again next week for the second part of Chapter 8, The 6-Hour War. How will this concerted attack on Israel come about, and what will be the outcome? Will Israel survive, and will this have any bearing on the second Exodus, the return of the 10 tribes? Remember, if you want to buy the book The Whore and Her Mother in Kindle or paperback editions, go to our website, kingdomcome.org.uk. Slán agus banagia. Bye and God bless.
This series is produced by Precious Oil Productions for Kingdom Come Trust. For more information about the series, Bible notes and recordings of previous talks, check out our website at www.kingdomcome.org.uk or write to PO Box 200, Belfast, Northern Ireland, BT 23 7TZ.